Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as The Drive is live. B. Scott, Brandon Scott's in the building as Clint is out today. But you know you can hold it down. We've had some fun with some callers already. Shout out to Tony and Mel. And you are obviously on the text line, 713-572-4610. You can always interact with us that way, as well as on YouTube and Twitch. We see you out there. J-Rock, Champ Slice, always in the building. Ray, Toby, Magic, OL, Kick Rocks, I'm certain will be finding its way in. Generic Opponent, I see you. So we appreciate you hanging out with us. As usual, Turge List coming up a little bit later on in this hour, so stay tuned for that. This is around that time where, you know, ESPN, they like to help sports radio hosts come up with a content, don't they?
Yeah,
they like to do them. They do their top tens, right?
It's the Lord's work. list and rankings.
List and rankings, baby. They do their. And I'll be honest with you, I have told myself, I just gotta hate lists and rankings, hate brackets.
You just made the list.
But they get me every time, yeah. So I must like them. Some of you all know this. Some of you text in and you say you hate me. But you can't get away.
It's not that you actually hate it. It's that you hate that you like it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it really is. Your hate for liking it that makes you hate it.
It is. And they get me. They suck me right in. Yeah.
It's a reason why they work.
Single time. Yeah. It does. And yesterday we talked about edge rushers, and the Texans had two on that one. Yesterday the safeties came out. Now, the Texans, I won't spoil it for you, did not have any safeties in the top 10, but they did have two in the honorable mention and one in the receiving votes. And CJ Gardner-Johnson was an honorable mention. Kalen Bullock was an honorable mention. And Jalen Petrie, whatever position he plays, which, I mean, it could be a little linebacker, safety.
Type of corner thing going on.
Yeah, slot corner, all of that.
Yeah.
But those guys were all in the article. Two of them in honorable mention and the other receiving votes. And listen, it makes sense. I do think especially Kalen Bullock, has a real chance to push himself into this group in which we're talking about him next year as being a top 10 guy that's in the list. Because I really, really like his game and where it can go. But this right here is a group and a position group that I don't think we look at as much or talk about as much. And I understand it. One, the offensive line is the biggest group that's on people's minds. And then the secondary, really the corners are ones that you may think are the strength of the team. And the pass rushers are ones that you may think are the strength of the team. But this safety group for the Texans, they got a chance to take – now, I think we hope it's the offensive line for CJ's sake and the rest of this group's sake. But the safety group, they may have a chance to take the biggest leap of any position group that the Texans have out there.
Yeah, I think about it like this, the transition that they've made from – let's say year one of D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud, right? So two years ago to now, where their safety combination was, what was it, Jimmy Ward and Jalen Petrie, something like that. So you go from
and then it was what's my man's name who went to Jacksonville?
Eric Murray
was
there. But think about it, just starting from Jimmy Ward and Jalen Petrie a couple of years ago to where you're talking about an aging Jimmy Ward and a Jalen Petrie who's really miscast and playing out of position. Yep. To now, two guys that you didn't have on the team at all at that point. And, of course, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who you just got. And then Kalen Bullock, who's somebody that you just drafted last year, but also somebody that has emerged as a real playmaker in this league, even just as a rookie. So, to me, they have just upgraded that position. And then, by the way, they still got those guys, save for Eric Murray, they still got those guys for the most part. We'll see what happens with Jimmy Ward. But, you know, they still got Jalen Petrie. They still have some safety depth on top of the fact that, you know, C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Kalen Bullock are the guys that you're expecting to make plays for you now. So I just feel like they've upgraded the position to a large degree just over the last couple of years, and I am expecting them to take that next step. I think that it's different from the cornerback position and different from the edge rusher position in the sense that you already got the high-end guys, either all-pro or all-pro-level type of guys at those positions. You're not sure about that yet because Kalen Bullock is so early on in his career. And then, you know, of course, C.J. Gardner-Johnson has just been a good player for a long time. But that certainly could become the case, and I think they've upgraded that position to a large degree. So it's kind of an underrated sweet spot.
How good do you think
for them?
How good do you think C.J. Gardner-Johnson is? I
think he's a known commodity. Like, yeah. Honorable mention is probably right there with. Like, I wouldn't say he's a top 10 safety. I think that's probably overshooting it. But, I mean, I know a lot of what he brings is like a, you know, aside from being a really good football player, but it's like an energy and an attitude. But on top of that, man, he is a solid, flat-out football player. So, like, he's not a top 10 guy. But right outside of that, I think, is where he is.
It's an upgrade over...
It's an upgrade over Eric Murray. Certainly, it's an upgrade Jimmy Ward. It's an upgrade, honestly, over anybody that's played that position for them, save for probably Kalen Bullock. So, and even he is somebody that is developing and hasn't quite figured everything out yet. So, yeah, I think this is the best safety that they've had in probably in a long time.
I think Kalen's got a chance to be.
Oh, you know, he can be a star. This is a dude that could get you eight interceptions.
Yeah, I think he's because you know in that position if you get seven interceptions, you're going to be a Pro Bowler.
Yeah. And this is what he's been doing. This is his player profile, his scouting profile, even coming out of USC. Like, not a perfect player, but got a knack for the ball, athletic, obviously long and rangy as hell, and just gets his hands on the football.
Yep.
And that showed up in his rookie year.
Yeah, and we've heard from D'Amico saying he's improved his tackling. I mean, he got five interceptions last year. You know, and at times a part-time role and trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Also trying to figure it out where he got taken advantage of a couple of times. I bet that improves this year. Like I said, man, I think this group has a real chance to like leap and just say, oh, wow, there you go.
Honestly, man, it was something that did. We didn't talk a lot about this during OTAs and minicamp, but it was one of the things that stood out to me was, so Kalen Bullock and Kamari Lassiter are kind of a tandem. You don't really too much see one without the other, right? And just the way that they were moving and the sort of confidence and the energy that they were out there with, everything that I was hearing from them and about them, how they went about this all season, not like guys that were rookies last year, but like guys that have been in the league for 6 or 7 years. Now, everybody talks like that in the offseason. Everybody kind of builds each other up. But you really kind of sense that they're like, you know what, we were just playing last year off of instinct and ability and talent. We hadn't really thought the game through yet. We didn't really fully know what we were doing. We were just kind of wide-eyed and bushy-tailed last year as rookies. This year, man, I'm expecting both of those guys to take a tremendous leap, and so that's going to really impact the safety position with Kalen Bullock, I think, having that year under his belt, man. I'm excited to see it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they got good corners, which will allow them to even take even more chances to go along with that pass rush. That is going to help them immensely. All right. Yep. No top 10 safeties as of yet, but I think next year they potentially will definitely have one. All right. I told you fellas, I'm not really, I tell myself I hate lists and brackets and things like that. Tyler knows this. This fruit bracket has had me in a damn chokehold. Like this, I am just flabbergasted, and I am in pure belief that they've made this list, and whoever voted, I believe they did this to just create controversy because I just cannot believe they believe some of this. Yeah, I just can't.
I mean...
Shout out to Jenkins and Jones, and they have done it. I've seen a lot of people roll with it.
What is a bracket with no controversy?
Absolutely. If in your mind right now, 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in too. If you had to create a fruit bracket, the best fruit, You had 4-1 seeds. What would those 4-1 seeds be?
Ooh. These nuts.
I think they're outrageous for a couple of them. That was, I don't think the nuts are a...
Not a fruit.
Yeah.
My bad, Matt.
I think they're insane. I just want to throw a couple out there to you.
Some of this doesn't make no damn sense.
If I were to say to you, off your head, off the top of your head, Tyler, banana. What seed do you feel like banana would get?
Oh, I feel
Four regions, eight seeds.
Four regions. Nanner's got to be a one.
Oh, no. No way.
No, but don't just think for yourself. I hate banana.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have it as a one. I wouldn't have it as a one.
It's a five seed. I think that's a little.
No, that's low.
I just want to tell you what you're dealing with. That's why I said, think about the 4-1 seeds of fruit. They've got banana as a five seed.
Disrespecting the potassium on a Thursday.
Yeah, there's no way a banana is a five. Just by name alone, it's a two seed.
Champ said he got banana as a 4 or 5 seed.
What?
It's at least a 3 seed.
Champ's 4 seeds are lime, lemon, strawberry, pineapple.
No.
Get up. As the one seed?
As his one seed.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, mine would be pineapple, cherry, strawberry, grapes. Pineapple is winning.
I love
this is actually pointless because pineapple is winning.
Love pineapple, but
it has some other cool effects too.
Okay, thank you. I know, swingers. I love pineapple too.
I was thinking something.
I love pineapple, but I don't know that I would throw it as a. I mean, it'd be a high two line seed for me. I mean, here are their one seed. Pineapple is a one seed for them.
It's got to be.
Orange, I would have orange as a one
seed.
Cool.
That's a fair one seed.
One seed strawberry, I think that's fair.
I'd be probably more towards two or three.
I would have him on the one line. And then peach.
That's ridiculous.
Peach? That is stupid.
Peach over cherry?
That is stupid.
What about apple? Where have you guys gone with apple?
The fact apple isn't a one seed is
apples
ridiculous.
Is McDonald's. I mean, apple is the goat. I got an apple in my bag right now.
Yeah.
You can get a green one. You can get a red one. You can get one of them yellow ones.
Must have been freaking communists that put this bracket together because apple is number one all day.
Yeah, apple is crazy. They got grape as a three seed on here.
Yeah, no, grape's got to go higher.
I'm a fan of the grapes too.
Yeah, grapes. I mean, come on now.
One of my favorite.
Grapes
can get away from you, man. You can eat about 30 grapes before you know.
Somebody texting, where's watermelon? They got watermelon in the 4-5 matchup against banana.
Stupid.
Watermelon and banana is the 4-5 with a peach as a one seed. Kiss my ass.
Yeah.
This has had me in a tizzy.
This is dumber than that year they put Ohio State in the college football playoff when they played like three football games.
If you like peach more than watermelon, do you even deserve fruit?
No.
like you should be.
Bet the Astros medical team likes peaches at number one.
Here are the two seeds. Blueberry. I can understand that. I don't like blueberry.
Blueberry
but I feel like
sense.
It is very used. Cherry is a two seed.
Yeah.
No pits.
Apple is a two seed. Just insane. How anyone could look. And they got apple in that. I'm treating this like it's your turn. Yeah. They got apple potentially having to meet up against orange in the regional final. Yeah.
What was apple's strength of schedule?
That's like Duke and Kansas having to run into each other in the regional final.
Yeah.
And then they got mango. Oh, mango can kiss my ass.
Dude.
I hate mango. Oh,
I can never eat mango again because whenever I went to Haiti, they served mango with literally everything. Mango comes with every meal, any meal, every day, all day. So I ate a crap ton of mango on that trip, and I cannot even look at it.
See, I like mango as a flavor, but I don't need the actual fruit itself. You can drop some mango in something.
You like a mango margarita?
Yeah, I can go with a mango margarita, but like an actual, like I'm going to eat a mango like I'm going to eat an apple or a grape? Nah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Or pineapple? No, I'm not doing that.
Someone texting, where's plum? Got it on the five line. I can understand that. Plum is higher for me. I didn't like bananas, so I would do a lot of plums during 2-a-days to try to help with the cramps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just...
I'm good with the plum there.
Y'all ever have one of my most favorite delicious summertime treats? You ever snack on some frozen grapes?
Frozen grapes?
Yeah, man.
My daughter loves them.
My grandma Lauren taught us that growing up.
She has
up.
Been doing it here lately.
So good.
Yeah, I'm with you. One seed's coming in. Cherries, apples, bananas, and oranges.
Yeah,
I would have. I would switch strawberry in for cherries, but I can understand. I mean, everybody. I mean, a lot of someone texted.
See, I like me a strawberry cherry concoction. Bring them both together.
Somebody said, "What are the eight seeds?" All right, the eight seeds are tomato going up.
I was going to ask about
going up against orange.
Oh, they're so losing to orange.
Asian pear against pineapple. Boysenberry is the eight seed against strawberries, and then date. Is the AC against peach?
I don't know nothing about the Asian pear, but I know the pineapple is demolishing it.
I'll be honest with you. I think avocado as a seven is really low. I would pick, cherry's a tough matchup for him, but I would think about it.
Who were the first three out?
Avocado would be out for me. It wouldn't be on the bracket.
Oh, why?
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Oh, I love avocado.
Everybody I know does. I'm the only person that says this, but I don't get it.
I love avocado.
It's a super fruit.
Don't understand
it. Love them. Yeah, this thing has had me over and over again, and I apologize for pushing that to you. All right, Jake Meyers is down, but the Astros, they had to play the game, and immediately it got worse with back-to-back home runs to lead off the game after Jake got injured. But they end up losing 4-2 last night. And they got swept. Even though old Walter pitched pretty well in his six, the Astros did lose 4-2 and got swept. We talked about it game one, game two. No big deal, just baseball. Any feeling now that you got swept here with the injuries and everything that the Guardians, who were struggling big time coming in, swept the Astros? We'll discuss that coming up next.
We'll get out of this little funk.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Well, apparently my wife's listening, and she texts me in so many thoughts.
This is the type of segment to get her attention.
Yeah, that Jake Meyers didn't.
Nah.
But so many thoughts. Basic fruit like apples and oranges should not be one seeds. I really love how she is she's rolling with the seeds. Should not be one seeds.
It's like saying the Blue Bloods in the NCAA tournament. Don't make them one seeds.
Popular fruit is the safest. It's like saying salt and pepper are one seeds because they are popular, but does anyone really want to eat food that only has two flavors? And I said, well, what are your one seeds? I'll accept anything that isn't apple, orange, or banana.
I like it.
I don't think I gave any of those. So, yeah, I went, what did I go?
I
had strawberry. I had strawberry, grape, cherry, and pineapple.
Yeah.
So I gave a little diverse, kind of diversified my portfolio there.
Yeah.
Went a little past the apple, the basics.
Yeah, I don't think Apple has turned into UCLA yet. You know, UCLA is
I think it has. Right.
I just don't.
I think it's UCLA. I think it's got a little Kareem on it.
I don't think it does.
Yeah, it's got it's giving Bill Walton.
I still think, you know, orange is Duke and Apple is Carolina.
No, it's Ryan Hollins out there now instead of Bill Walton.
Come on.
I was going to ask what your Jayhawks, what fruit they'd be.
I didn't just want to throw Kansas or oranges. I didn't want to just be rude. But, I mean, you know, I know it might hurt some people. I mean, Houston is coming through. What's Houston? What fruit is Houston? What are the Houston Cougars?
Something purple.
Let me not do this.
Tangerine.
No, they're like.
I don't know.
Eggplant.
Like
what is
a fruit that's really humming now? That hasn't always been a traditional, like, is it like one of the berries?
It's gotta be one of the berries.
Is it blueberry? Or raspberry or blueberry that's really coming on strong?
It's blueberry. It's gotta be like the blueberry. In a muffin.
It's starting to come on.
Yeah. I feel like muffins have really brought up.
Maybe mango. The blueberry real estate.
Would you like to know the state fruit of Texas?
Sure.
The red grapefruit.
I don't even think I saw grapefruit make it.
Grapefruit's got to be on there.
I don't rock with grapefruit, but it's got to be
grapefruit,
on the list.
Clear, it's not on it, Tyler. Maybe you go and look at it. I'm looking at it.
Oh, that's one of the first three out.
Grapefruit's one of the first three.
Yeah.
It had a tough conference tournament. Yeah, it went in there.
It's just the city college.
Just needed to win one game in the conference tournament. And they lost. They lost to Colorado.
The dreams were shattered.
Yeah.
Damn, grapefruit didn't make it.
It's that mid-major that had the automatic bid, but wasn't really good in the regular season, but somehow won its conference tournament.
It's on a run.
Yeah, that's
what I think Date did. That's why Date's an 8 seed. Date went on a run and won the Big East championship out of nowhere. You remember that year Georgia went on that run when it was a big storm and they had to move the games in Nashville. There was a huge storm. It damaged the building. And God, I can't remember that kid's name. His name was Sunyata Gaines, something like that. He went off for Georgia.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Anyway, let me get off of this. I can be in this all day. All right. The Astros prior to this series had gone 13 straight without losing a series.
A series, yep.
Had split some 4-game sets, but went 13 consecutive series, which is crazy, especially when you think about the injuries, the pitching they had. Mm-hmm. You know, they went 13 straight without losing a series, and then they get swept here. Now, for the first 2 days, we have on the drive been saying, it's just baseball, man. Just baseball. Are you checking up at all, B. Scott?
I think it brought me back to a sobering place. Oh. Like for me, I've been obviously excited about the way that they've been playing baseball, and I've allowed myself to think about, like, oh, you know, I think I even did this segment, like, what would a championship look like, or would this be like one of the sweetest ones that they could ever win if they were able to do this, pull this off, given how they were projected going into the season and everything that's happened to them throughout the season. But I think it brings me back to, like, kind of back down to earth of realizing, hey, you know, this is a really good baseball team. But let's not get it twisted like they're some kind of front runner or anything like that, or like they're the favorite to win even the American League, much less the World Series. Like, they're in a bit of a fight. There are a lot of teams, I feel like, a handful of teams that should feel good about their chances of winning the World Series. And the Astros are among them. I think because of the way that they've played over the past month, I've probably put them a little bit higher and a little bit more so than they need to be and than they should be on that list.
Hold on.
Like, if you look at their power rankings, for example, a lot of folks got them, because they're the hottest team in baseball, got them ranked as the best team in baseball. Some of the actual best teams in baseball, they've straight up beat head-to-head and are struggling. Like, let's say the Dodgers. There are others around that you can make an example of. The Yankees at times. So, like, some of the better teams aren't playing as great.
So what was your feeling? Because basically what you're saying, bringing you back down.
I've been on
a
high.
What was your feeling after the Dodgers series? After they went in there and swept them 29-6.
Yeah.
And there was no Hunter Brown in that. And you go gusto, go 6 innings, 1 run. And you just clobber them offensively with that lineup. No Pena. Jake got hurt in one of the games. No Yordan. Do you feel like you had gotten to a space that was over where you should have been?
Yeah, because it's the Dodgers. And I think that is self-explanatory.
By the way, they've lost 6 in a row.
There you go. It's self-explanatory. They're the Dodgers. There's a history there, right, with the Astros. And then the Dodgers themselves are probably one of the most well-constructed baseball teams that we've ever seen in our lives, like the lineup that they put out there right now. So for them to go out there and to play that way, not against, you know, a franchise that we got an emotional connection with, but a specific lineup and a specific team like this one, the way that this one is built, yeah, it had me thinking pie in the sky type of stuff, right? And this just brought me down. Like, I don't think I'm too high or too low. This just brought me right back down into the middle of, hey, this is a team that absolutely has a chance to do some damage this fall, but at the same time is not like some kind of, like, this is a little bit more fool's gold and a little bit more of a hot streak than it is indicative of them being, let's say, the best team in the American League or some type of World Series favorite. That's what the last couple of nights have reminded me of. It's not to say I'm giving up on them or I don't think they got a shot, but I think the last month or so has maybe given us an unrealistic idea of what that shot actually is.
Yeah.
Brought me back down to earth.
Yeah, it's just to me depending on who's there, right? Like it's just right now. Clearly in this series, the injuries have just. I think we finally reached. We talk about what's the line with Jim Crane and company. It feels like we hit the line of, all right, this is as far as we can go, man. Like with having these injuries in, we can only go with Short and Cordero or Corona, excuse me, and you know these guys out. Yeah. That's what it seemed like a lot more to me. It is tough. I mean the Guardians were playing terrible coming in.
Yeah, so like
6-24 in their last 30.
And I will say for me, a lot of the optimism, a lot of the Astros optimism that I had, let's say before that Dodger series, was predicated on the injury stuff going the other way, right? Like I've been talking about, wait until they get these reinforcements back.
No, that's
wait until Yordan comes back. Wait until all these pitchers that have been dropping. Wait until those guys come back. Everything's about to, you know, go the other way. It's going the opposite, right? Yeah. Like the injury stuff is getting worse. A lot of my optimism was predicated on it getting better.
Yeah. All right, coming up, Turds List. It returns, Turds List, and buckle up. This one ought to be really spicy. It wasn't hard for this one. I won't say that. It wasn't hard for this one. I think Tyler could have done all medals with the Astros training staff, and I'm going to assume he'll go in other spaces. But we'll give you that coming up, and some news with the Astros we'll pass across to you that you need to know. That's coming up next, right here live on The Drive.
Turd Ferguson.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Turds List coming up here in a matter of moments. Hang in there as Tyler will give you who hits the bronze, the silver, and the gold this week. That's coming up in a bit. I do want to pass across some news. The Astros have optioned Shea Whitcomb. Damn, Shea. To AAA and reinstated Christian Walker from the paternity list. Walker could only spend a maximum of 3 days on the paternity list.
The nightmare hence, third continues for Shea.
Hence, he's doing this on an off day. So, Christian Walker, who, even though he has struggled throughout the season, did get a little hot there at Chavez Ravine and was swinging the bat well against the Dodgers, as he does often there at that ballpark. He will be back, and boy, hell, even with him struggling, the lineup looked a lot different with him out of it. But he will be, I would assume, back in the lineup for this Rangers series starting tomorrow. So Christian Walker back from the paternity list. But that is crazy. Even somebody struggling like him, it just even, I mean, Victor swung the bat pretty well. He was on multiple home runs. What, he had two days in a row?
Yeah.
Had a little streak going there, but you know that it even looked different with him out there.
The issues that the Astros have had this season have been so profound that I often find myself forgetting the fact that they have overcome Christian Walker not exactly playing up to the billing. Like Christian Walker being for the most part a disappointment in their lineup. I understand he plays excellent defense at first base and all of that, but as far as being an impact bat in their lineup, he has not been that. And they've overcome so many other things. They got so many different issues that are happening with them. I often forget that is among them. That's one of the things that they are overcoming so far this year.
They're fighting.
It's kind of wild.
Yep. And he, as we said, it was a tough time for him to slow down and stop. Obviously, we understand that's more important.
Yeah.
But he was swinging the bat well, and I know the Astros are hopeful that he can continue to do that. All right, let's do it. Tyler's Turd List, baby.
Pro athletes are sometimes a lot to handle.
We're just not good enough.
Maybe even a bit dramatic.
Altuve stole an MVP from Judge.
Turdish behavior will not be ignored. No one is safe.
I'm not going to let it take my joy.
It's Tyler's Turds of the Week on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That is right, big voice guy. Turdish behavior, never acceptable, especially for these dramatic-ass professional athletes. And we're on the lookout every week And sometimes what's about to happen, it happens right here on the podium, this turd podium from the world of pro sports and sports talk, because one of our team members is going to get this bronze turd medal this week, boys.
Oh, boy.
Happens from time to time, but I hate to do it, but it's a responsibility I've taken on to call out this turdish behavior.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it, huh?
Somebody does, and that's me. And John Lopez, you're the one this time. The OG, you hear him every day, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on these airwaves. The OG John Lopez, my fellow Aggie brother. He's on the turd list because, boys, I did some investigative work. Something had been bothering me. Not like really getting to me or bothering me, but something had been irking me. I feel like that's the appropriate word. And that is that by the time we reach Friday, the end of each work week, up here in these beautiful studios at Sports Radio 610. And our prep studio back there behind you guys. On every Friday for weeks and weeks and months, as I get ready to leave this place for the weekend, I start looking around that prep studio and there's always minimum two coffee cups from the week. Maximum four or five, maybe even on the worst week, maybe there were six.
Oh,
used, drank out of
no way.
Office coffee mugs.
Six oh, the mugs.
No.
The mugs?
The mugs not that stack up mugs. Back there. I know you've seen them.
Come on, six is crazy.
I've not noticed.
Six is
really
crazy.
You have to point this out to
honestly,
me.
One is a lot.
Well, I got in a habit on Fridays of...
He's not taking them back to the dishwasher?
No.
Oh, my
So I've been seeing these mugs left behind, like I said, for weeks upon weeks. And I'm like, who is prepping in this studio and just leaving their stuff, their dishes out, like for someone to come up and get them and clean them up for them literally weekly? Minimum two every Friday. And I was the one on Fridays grabbing them at the end of the week and taking them back to the kitchen, to the dishwasher. So I did some investigative work. I had it down to either Lopez or Bajani. But after some clues... It's Lopez, boys. It's at your house, J-Lo.
Wow. Six?
That's shocking. It seems like Lopez, as the elder statesman, would be the one who is most meticulous about this type of thing.
Or he would be, I don't give a damn.
Yeah, I mean.
It'd go either way.
Like, me, that's the generation of folks that's like.
So he doubled up one day.
Wash your dishes. Clean up after yourself.
Well, they stack up over the week, man.
I know, it's six. He doubled up one
day. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of caffeine. So that's your bronze turd this week. I hate to do it, J-Lo.
Yeah. Listen, OG, I love you, but that's
And you getting off pretty good to get bronze here, because that's if there's more than one,
Jake Myers,
two is insane. Two of your mugs, bro.
At some point,
and that's the minimum every
Friday.
And
that's hard because they're not like it ain't like a cup like cups you can stack them.
Yeah, no,
like,
these
you
are
can't
mugs.
Stack these. You just see them.
That's
you gotta
right.
line them up like beer pong cups.
So it hadn't been no damn millennial that's leaving them cups out back there. No, it's
and
the OG
all you really
John
gotta
Lopez.
Do is rinse it and just throw it in the dishwasher.
It ain't
it's
hard.
It's not work really at all.
It's a few steps, John. You can do this. Oh man, I just broke the turd trophy somehow.
Oh, you turd now.
The tip of the turd trophy just snapped off.
It's always the tip.
Now you are an underrated person on this list potentially.
We'll get to this golden turd trophy if you're watching with us on YouTube and Twitch. Sports Radio 610.
The turd breaks the turd trophy.
Don't let the Astros look at it.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That was pain.
That's going to come back. That's going to come back in just a couple of minutes. Let's get to this silver turd of the week right now. This happened 15 years ago.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
You got to be kidding me. This is very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
That was the conclusion I woke up with this morning.
Obviously, that's the damn conclusion you woke up with that morning, buddy. Yeah,
that was
that was what Jim asked him. I don't know.
That is your silver turd right there. That is 15 years ago this week, as a younger LeBron James, of course, had a special event hosted by, it was ESPN, right?
Yeah,
it was
ESPN.
Yeah, and announced that he was departing Cleveland, where he hadn't won any championships yet.
It was pretty
lame.
And
he went to Miami.
Did you think...
I wasn't mad at him for it, but I did think it was corny.
Did you think it was lame in the moment, like when it was happening?
Yeah, I was like, what are we doing? I
know your ass was on it.
But I was also on the edge of my seat, though.
Yes.
But that was independent of what they were actually doing. I was like, this is corny.
At the moment... I never thought it would gain, it would get the backlash that it has. Like, in that moment, yeah. I never thought it would get the backlash to where, like, many people outside of that kind of Daryl Morey China situation, many people look at that as the black, like, the black mark on yeah. his career.
I don't get that. I don't, because I didn't think he did anything wrong. I just thought it was objectively corny. But people were like, you know, thought he was a bad person for it. I didn't get that point.
That has been one. There are many people that that's the worst thing that the moment that he has, and the moment that turned to the villain point. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to mention. I was going to say we may not have known it in that moment during the decision for LeBron James, but hindsight's always 20/20, and we now know that is literally the moment where many fans' opinion and thoughts on LeBron yeah. James shifted and changed.
It is a pivot point in his career for I think it colored a lot of what happened that first year in Miami. Like, when they didn't win it, yeah. I think he was feeling the pressure of not just the decision that he made, but the whole spectacle around the quote-unquote decision.
I didn't see that. I didn't see it turning out that way because he did.
And as the story goes, the tale of LeBron James, he finally met up with some other talented players and won some rings because he couldn't do it by himself. That's your silver turd this week.
No one has. Go ahead.
Yeah, they have. Gold medal time. Gold trophy. The broken now, the tip of the turd on this golden trophy is now snapped off. It was easy this week, as Ron hinted at it earlier. And, I'm just going to kill the music because we need to get serious right now. This Astros training staff situation is a complete good, because I actually just had to stop myself from saying the S word.
I know.
It's a complete turd-ish show.
Mm-hmm.
It is a ish show over there at Daikin Park. I know we've had fun with this thing. Y'all heard how angry I got in the first segment. I know a lot of you Astros fans are the same way. But the Jake Meyers situation with what we saw on the diamond last night before the game starting, him limping and being carried off the field, head in his hands, after returning too soon, it looks like, from an injury, combined with everything we've gone through in the past with this training staff medical team over there with the Astros, it's got to stop. It needs to be addressed. The brass for the Astros got to pull their big boy pants up right now. And even if they don't want to, they got to make some moves and big decisions, because the health, literal health of your players and your ball club is at risk. And it's just maddening. It's embarrassing. And they need to take this turd trophy and take it seriously, because they need to get that situation under control with the training staff. It's absurd. I mean, Colton Gordon took a liner off the dome earlier this week, too.
Kept on going, didn't he?
Don't worry about it. Your head's fine, bud. Like, just between the little things like that that turned out okay to the absolute worst, like the scene we saw last night, fix this problem. You're a world-class organization otherwise. Fix this problem now.
Yeah.
Those are your turds of the week.
Yeah, honorable mention, all those people in Colorado who decided to go watch the Rockies and the White Sox. They had over 47,000 people go out there multiple times, all of them. What is going on with you? You've got nothing better to do in life than to watch the Rockies and the White Sox.
I was going
to
say, they must sell weed at the stadium.
But
don't they sell weed everywhere?
They got it everywhere.
Everywhere.
What could they have been hitting
to get me
in there? To spend money.
You got to must be able to smoke at the stadium or something.
Hey,
come watch your team and whatever.
I got you, man. The Padres coming into town. See Manny. See Jackson Merrill. Tatis. I got you. The Dodgers coming to town. Not the White Sox.
No.
The two worst records in baseball. The Guardians just went 6-34 in their last 30 and lost 10 in a row before they arrived here.
Yeah.
They were 10 games above the White Sox.
Yeah.
And that's their last 30.
Frank Thomas ain't walking through that.
And Frank was going there, I'd pay.
Yeah.
Albert Bell and Bo Jackson was going through, I'd pay.
Exactly.
if Jack Parkman from Major League was going in there, I'd pay.
Not even Tim Anderson of 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Brock Raines, yeah. Not
Hershiser, honorable mention, too.
Coming up, Dirty's Daily, as we continue to ride through here. B. Scott's in the building. Clint is out. We will keep it rolling. Dirty's Daily coming up next right here, live on The Drive.